Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you would take my life and you would consecrate it unto you. I am challenged by the all of me aspect. I just keep taking parts back. I keep trying to think that I can own me better than surrendering me over to you. Crazy idea. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not just sing these things, but Lord, to live them. And even in particular today, as we come to look at and see how the scripture would encourage us to be engaged in service as a living sacrifice of our worship to you. Help us, Lord. What does that look like for us practically to be able to know how do we give ourselves over to you? We believe the gospel, Lord. We believe that you transform. I've been watching it this week and I've been hearing stories about it and engaging in people with struggles that are going on in their marriages and fighting physical ailments and how you're giving peace and you're moving and you're providing the truth and the hope of the gospel. People facing fears of illness and the tensions and the frustrations of that, and you're empowering and you're healing, both physical, but emotional and mental and spiritual as well. So Lord, today as we open the Word of God and we look to see, how would we lay ourselves down once again and do this in a practical fashion today with serving here within the church? Give us wisdom, Lord. This wouldn't be something that we're just doing out of some obligation or duty, but we really are saying, Lord, I want you to have all of me. All of me. So would you speak to us through your word? Would you challenge us to the obedience of faith? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I haven't gotten a chance to meet you, I'm Gary Burdick, one of the pastors here, and I want to invite you to open a Bible or scroll to one on your device. There's Bibles in the chair racks. If you want to look it up on your phone, wherever we're looking in the chair Bible, on page 813 at Galatians chapter 6. Normally, we do series through books of the Bible, but we are taking a few weeks to do some different things for the next few weeks, and so this week, we're looking at Galatians chapter 6. Again, it's found on page 813 in the chair Bibles. And we're looking at just verses 7 through 10. So I'd like you to turn with me there and follow along as we consider the idea of serving with purpose. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The word of the Lord. I love being part of a great team. My pararescue training when I went in the Air Force, my wife says, 100 years ago. I don't think it was quite that long ago. And do you guys? I thought that was funny. Well, you didn't think so. Maybe it really wasn't that long ago. Anyway, when I went in the Air Force, I love experiences of teams, and I keep looking and saying, when will I get to have a team experience that was as good as that? When we would get together, everything that we had to be done together. So we would count all of our times. For instance, when we went for a run, you had to make it by a certain time. If you didn't make each mile by that time, then you got a penalty point. If you did your swim warm-ups even, they were timed, and you had to get by a certain time. If you didn't, you got a penalty point. And then if you didn't make your swim time, you got a penalty point. All the points were added up throughout the day. At the end of the day, all the points were added from each person, were added together. They were divided by the number of people on the team, and that's how many penalty drops you had to do after a whole day of working out. And a drop of push-ups went from 20 progressively up to 60 push-ups each drop. So at the end of the day, we could do as many as several hundred push-ups to be able to pay just our penalty drops after 12 hours of working out. It was miserable. And it did amazing things in building a team. We call it in the military, we call it in lots of places, esprit de corps. What does it mean? Feelings of loyalty and enthusiasm and devotion to a group among people who are members of the group. Now, unless you've experienced something like that, and most of us probably have at some point, we've tasted something like that. Maybe it was a sports team, maybe it was a work team that just you got put into, and this it was amazing how these things worked out and how they played out. And how does that come about? What builds this? Well, certainly hardship can do that. Hardship and suffering can build that kind of an idea. That's true. But I think success can as well. Achievement, making the goal. And so we look at that and we find that joy and love and passionate service together can also build that. And I'd like to see a team experience better than the one that I had there. That's been something that I have desired ever since that 100-year-ago experience. We can have that right here. Us, because we choose to engage in what's going on and what God wants to do here. Now, I need some volunteers, and I'm looking for some middle school, four middle school or just under volunteers, and I have reason for you to volunteer. Come on up. Come on up. Four of you. Come on. Middle school? Come on. There's reason. Okay, I only got four. First ones. Sorry. All right. I want you to pretend with me for a minute, all right? Now, this is going to be a stretch, so you're going to have to use your imagination. I want you to pretend for a second I'm Jesus. I know, that's a stretch. Yeah, laugh. That's good. But Jesus is going to give you this, right? $5. It's a Lincoln there. So there's your $5, and here's all he says. This is all he says. You got 1 minute. 1 minute. Somebody got to watch. To do something meaningful with it. Go. You can do whatever you want. No, you can do whatever you want. Oh, come on. You can't do the same thing somebody else does. That's just not fair. Make them work harder than that. Come on. Something meaningful. I'm Jesus. I like walk on water. I don't need $5. You can put it in your pocket. Is that not meaningful? All right, thanks. Good man. Good job. Go ahead. That's it. That's all you had to do. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? What happened? I missed that. What have you been given? What have you been given? And you know it comes from His hand. It's from Him. How are you using it? So let's unpack this text and look at this idea of reaping from our service, of persevering in our service, and also focusing our service. So put your finger on the text, walk with me through it. First, let's look at reaping from our service. What's the first thing, just from this text, what's the first thing we learn about God? Go ahead, this is a part where you get to participate too, not just those four. God cannot be mocked. Okay, what's the first thing we learn about people in the text? A little harder. Look careful. What's the first thing we learn about people?
We can be deceived.
Louder?
We can be deceived.
We can be deceived. Do not be deceived. So that's what we're told to not do, right? So that says something about who we are. Catch those two together right there. God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. Self-deception. Thinking that what we're doing is okay doesn't make it okay with God. Somehow sliding into something that we've come to believe, and we convince ourselves of it, and we can be deceived, that's what the scripture is saying to us, doesn't change the nature of who God is and what he's called us to do and our standing before him. Important stuff that he's warning. Do not be deceived. Self-deception doesn't fool God. You will reap, it goes on from those two perspectives, you will reap then what you sow. You will reap what you sow. So it's a very important context and background to help us understand that. Now, it goes on to then say, and give us this contrast. If you sow of the flesh, you sow to please the flesh, you will reap what? What will you reap if you sow of the flesh? Destruction. It's not necessarily, because remember, this is a letter to the church at Galatians. It's a letter to you. It's a letter to me, we who are participants in the body. It's not necessarily an eternal destruction in the sense of our eternal salvation. That's not necessarily what's in view, although we don't necessarily want to downplay that too much. But so to please the Spirit, and what do you get? You get eternal life. Big contrast that is there. Somehow there's this connection to all eternity of the idea of rewards, what we get for what we sow when we're here. It isn't just life in terms of ultimate life and whether we're going to go to hell or we're going to go to heaven. It is about whether we experience the fullness of life when we're in heaven. Do we have the rewards that we have gotten? And God has an accounting system. The scriptures are replete with that idea. It's all over the place. So what does it mean to sow to the flesh? Now, if I just say that right out, most of us are going to go here. We're going to go, that means to be giving yourself to drunkenness and debauchery and those kind of things. That's what it means to sow in the flesh. And I understand that. That is true. But I think what we also do is we think, because many of us, some of us, decades ago, many decades ago even, were saved from that kind of debauchery and we were brought forth from it. We were set free from that prison cell. But what we don't realize is that sometimes we have almost walked right out of that prison cell and walked into the prison cell of self. Self-comfort, self-satisfaction, self-acquiring, self-attainment. We don't even know it's a prison cell because we're comparing it to that old one. We don't know we're caught up in self, because it looks so dramatic from what we used to be. We were graciously freed from such a horrid thing, but we don't really realize we've suddenly, not suddenly, maybe it's been gradually, we've been deceived into thinking that what Christ saved me for was my comfort. We've been duped into believing the prison of self, failing to see the call to Christ-like total sacrifice and surrender. So I've introduced you to my cousins before, but you know Sven there. He went next door to my other cousin, Oli, and he said, "So Oli, can I borrow your axe?" And Oli said, "No, you can't borrow my axe." And he said, "Well, why not?" Oli says, "Cuz I got to make soup." "Well, what does borrowing your axe got to do with making soup?" And Oli says, "Well, borrowing my axe don't got nothing to do with making soup. But if I don't want to lend you my axe, then one excuse is as good as the next." Do we stand today saying that the excuse for surrendering and giving ourselves to self, to self-comfort, and this is about me, is it the excuse that I'm not like I used to be? Or is our excuse that I served for a lot of years and it's somebody else's turn? One excuse can be as good as the next. Is that really where we want to be? Is that what we're about? There are many excuses that we can use, but Spirit-filled service is about self-sacrifice. And there's no way we can get around that in the Scripture. So we look at that idea of service, but we also go on then and we see perseverance in our service. Look at verse 9. Some of us, indeed, we have served. Some of us did, and are serving, really. Some of you are serving in too many areas. You're serving too much here. And maybe today the decision you need to make is to cut back some and give some other people an opportunity to serve. We've become weary, some of us, in doing good. Now, I know that that's not the only way in which we could become weary, but look at the warning in verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I think there's a double edge to that idea. Don't be weary, in other words, to persevere and keep going, but don't let yourself grow weary because you're doing too much. Work in such a way as that you're in this for the long haul, that you can continue to do this. Who determines the proper time? Do this. Can you take your wrist and go like this and put these two fingers right here? Do you have a pulse? Then you still have time. Because who determines the time for your end, the Scripture says? God does. And so I'm here. If I'm alive, I've been called up to serve. That's what it means to be in the body of Christ, to be with Him. So, how many of you have ever used a hand pump like this? Most of us. There's quite a few of them around in Wisconsin, so I'm not surprised that you guys see them. But how many of you have used the old ones that actually had a bucket full of water sitting next to it? That you had to use the bucket of water. Why did you have to use the bucket of water first? To prime it. See, the old pumps, they weren't self-priming like the new ones. So here you come up and there's a bucket of water, and if you don't pour it down there, you can pump that thing for now until the next 10 years, can't you? And it won't come up. But if you take the bucket of water and pour it down, then you can prime it and it'll actually suck and it'll bring up the water. But you have to dump it down in there first, don't you? We also know that it takes a lot of pumping sometimes to get that water to come up. But then once it starts coming up, you can just keep it going. I'm wondering, do we need to have a refreshed sense of being primed today by the fullness of the Spirit in us, that we would go back and remember why we began serving in the first place? That it's because of this great gift that God has given us in Christ, and it is a delight and a joy to give Him. And maybe we need to pour some water down that well again. Ask for the filling of the Spirit, that the water level of His activity in our life, our passion for who Christ is, our delight in what He has done for me, not only that He set me free from that prison cell, but set me free from the prison cell of self that I have learned to give out of a sense of amazing glory for this Lord that I serve, and that I am walking in a hope of that. Because in Matthew 10, Jesus said, "And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose the reward." Do you need to be reminded of that today? That's why you serve, because your Lord said, "I won't forget. You did this for me. Thank you. Thank you for working in the nursery. Thank you for preparing communion. Thank you for grouting all of those tile. Thank you for all the stuff that you have done." But we're to focus our service also. Point 3, focus our service. How many of you know what it means to flock shoot? Oh, I figured there'd be more than that, only a couple. So what does it mean to flock shoot? So the flock of geese or ducks go over, you just take the gun and kind of go, "There's a whole bunch of them." Just aim at the flock. How well does that work, guys who are hunters? Not good. Doesn't work so good. You've got to just pick out and not go for a whole bunch of things. You got to look at one, and you got to take that one. That's what you have to do. You have to be focused. Notice what our focus here is called to. Look at verse 10. When are we supposed to serve, first of all? When are we supposed to serve? Say it again. Isn't that what it says? When you have an opportunity, go ahead and serve. So today, guess what? We even trapped you in a whole new room arrangement, so you have to go out by these tables. It was strategic. You have opportunity today to go by these tables and be able to look and say, where would I like to sign up to be able to serve? But also, what else does it say? Who are we to serve? In terms of focusing our service, who are we to serve? All people, first of all. So that's, if you will, the flock, the bigger. I know the metaphor is going to break down here. That's okay. Stay with me. But then especially, who is it? What's it say? The family of God. The family. When does the family gather? We gather on Sunday and we gather on Wednesday night. We gather in small groups. That's when we come together. So, let's look at a landing craft. Landing craft goes up, it hits the beach, the ramp goes down, they all go piling off, and they get onto the beach, and all the troops hand their gun and hand their ammunition belts and hand their mortar plates and hand their mortar to the officers, and they say, "You guys are awesome, go do it." And the troops, the enlisted guys, go back on the boat, the ramp goes up and it pulls away, and the officers are all standing there with all their stuff. How good's this war going to go? It's not going to work, is it? And you know where I'm going. Let's not leave it to the professionals, okay? Let's not leave it to the people who've already been serving in the church for 3 decades. Let's not leave it to the people who know they're good at teaching. Let's decide, what is it that God has given us? What talent, even though it might seem small, and offer it to God and serve the body with it, to give it to Him, because if it won't go good in that war, it's not going to go good in this war. And the Scripture says, we're at war. It's not the same kind of war, and we're not supposed to be at war with the world in the sense that we're fighting them, but that it's a war because there's an enemy of your soul, and he wants to destroy you, and he doesn't want you to like your brother and your sister right here in the chairs, and he can't get that in us as we walk in the Spirit and learn to love and experience a sense of team that God is building us up, and he is helping us to know who he wants us to be. So start out with something small and give it to him and trust him to walk in it. Let go of the excuses. Don't pile it on the people who've been already hauling too much. Pick up a piece of it and to engage that. So turn to God and away from our prison of selfish ways and non-service. And for some of you, again, I want to release you from doing too much. It's okay. Trust God in that too. This place is not going to fall all apart. I know. I wake up in the middle of the night and have those thoughts too. Let's not get over caught up in our own self-importance, but let's get caught up in the importance of the beauty of entering into what the body of Christ can do. So let's get practical with that. Let me walk in and say, where can we serve? That's a great question, because you're saying, okay, Gary, you talked me into it. I get it. I want to do something, but I don't know what I want to do. So let me give you a couple of things, a number of points, actually, and walk through them really quick. And then we're going to shorten the service today. We're going to keep it tight so that you can spend some time. It's a part of the worship, because we're a living act of worship is our service, to go around and look at the tables, talk to the people who are going to be there to represent these various areas, and be able to engage with them about where you're going to put your name. If you're a brand new visitor today, hey, you get a pass. If you've been here 3 weeks, you're really experienced like that, you're in. You're qualified. You had a pulse. All you're doing is signing up to say, I'm interested. So let me encourage you also in this, because I want to give you safety here. I get it. The church is guilty. I've worked in a number of other nonprofits also, and helped them. And, you know, once you take on a job, you feel like you have it. The only way you're going to get out of that job is if Jesus returns. That's the only way you're going to be done. Okay, I want to give you a big on-ramp. We've given that on-ramp right here today. I'm giving you a big on-ramp to be able to get in jobs. I want to also pledge to you, I'll give you a big off-ramp. I give you permission. If this doesn't work, say no. It's okay. That helps us to trust God too. It really does. We believe that it's His church, not my church. So big on-ramp. Get on in some jobs, find something that you want to do, and if this one doesn't work, say no and try something else. Don't quit. I tried that once 20 years ago, and I didn't like it. I'm not doing nothing again. That was terrible. It was a fight to get off of it. I know we've done that, and we do that, not just in the church, but in lots of places. Let's not do that. Now, if you say, I've never tried, for example, to teach, try it. Try it out. You might find yourself saying, I wish I'd have done that decades ago. To walk in that room and see those kids' eyes light up. To see them coming in and saying their verse with such pride. And they get it. You never know what God might do as you step out in faith. If you're doing too much again, cut back. I think I've hit that enough. Sign up to get more information. Here's what I'm asking you to commit to today, not to taking on a ministry. Although if you're ready to do that and you're ready to say, hey, I want to work in the nursery, then tell them that's fine. But if you just like to get more information, that's what I'm asking you to commit to do today. Just say, hey, I'd like a little more information about that. Put your name on and we'll have a conversation with you. That ministry leader, those ministry leaders will get in touch and connect with you. That's what I'm asking you to commit to. First priority here, as it is in every church I've ever seen and been in. You know the hardest place to man? What's the hardest jobs to keep filled in a church? Taking care of kids. It is. So if you're saying, Gary, I don't know where I want to serve, then go to kids. Sign up to do something with the kids, either the nursery or Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Volunteer to do something with the kids. It's not all teaching. There are lots of different things about that, but every church I've been in, every church I've helped to oversee, it's always been a struggle to be able to staff the church, the kids' stuff at church. It just is the nature of that, and it's okay. We're going to get through that, and so we want to look at that. But that's the first priority. If you don't have a predetermined spot to go, go there. But I am going to ask you to commit to giving something back, to look at getting some means of service. Because I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to walk into that self-deception of thinking that Christ saved you for your comfort. He didn't save you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. He saved us to die and give an example of that in the way we develop this team so that we love each other so well, we care for each other so well that the world looks on us and says, my, how those Christians love one another. That's the goal. And as we die to self, as we give up ourself, we display the glory of God. And that is the reason that you live. It's why you're here. It's why you do have a pulse. So I want to apply my famous acronym. Okay, maybe it's not so famous because I asked my staff and none of them could say what it stood for. I'm like, oh, I'm failing. KISSMITH. You know what it stands for? Anybody know? Not the staff. I just reminded you. Yeah, John, I love it. Keep it simple. Make it fun. That's what we can do, and I believe we can do that. I believe, to the glory of God, you can find a niche that's your opportunity of service, that you will say, I love Jesus, and I get to express that love in this way. So sign up. Today, we can reap a harvest of love and joy and hope and delight in Christ and in His church. And I want to call you to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this body and thank you for the many, many faithful servants. Thank you for the just countless hours, though countless to us, not to you. You have recorded them. You remember them, and I thank you for them. And now I ask that by the Spirit of God, there would be a perseverance in us to keep doing what you have plainly called us to do, not looking around at what might be frustrating us today, but looking at you, keeping our eye fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who has said you would give us rewards. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the joy and the delight of serving you. I thank you that I get to use my gifts and offer them up to you and know you count it as pleasing. Would you give that gift to everyone here today? So as we explore this, Lord, would you just help us, lead us, tug at our heart where you would have us serve, that the team of the body of Christ would be built up for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.